Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I am Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful and handsome co-host, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Good. Beard looks great.
Thank you.
Excited to chop it up here for a few minutes. Oh, you look tan. Look relaxed.
Yeah.
Look ready to go.
All right.
So, today's episode, we got the new roster change that came into effect. Not out of nowhere, but I think it probably happened a little bit quicker than some people are anticipating. So we want to take a few minutes here to talk about the impact this is going to have on the 2025 class and some things that they need to consider, you know, families, recruits who are currently out there, whether you're committed or uncommitted, some things you need to be aware of and things you need to consider here over the next couple months, August, September, October, to navigate the new rule change effectively. So what, kick us off here. What are your initial thoughts as far as the 25 class goes?
I think one of the biggest things is that you need to be able to understand where you're, what this rule change means to what's going to be going on in college baseball. And I know you and Jonathan touched on this last week when I was out, but understanding that like rosters are going to shrink at the Division I level, right? The other thing that I think I is important to say is that, like, yes, the NCAA rule is going to be 34 at the Division I level from a roster standpoint, and you have the ability to give 34 scholarships. Like, not every Division I school is giving out 34 full scholarships. That is a very important thing to understand. Like, yeah, you could read that and be like, oh, wow, this is awesome. 34 is the roster limit and full scholarships. Like, that's if they can afford it. So I think, like, one of the biggest things is really understanding that part of it, because I think some people see that rule or hear it and or hear us talk about it, and it's like, wow, that's awesome. Like, there's free education for 4 years. Like, that is not the case. It's going to be the case at, you know, a handful of schools, ACC, SEC, those the likes. But your mid-majors and those schools aren't necessarily going to be able to do that. So I think understanding that part is probably the biggest, but also understanding, like, what does this mean moving forward? You know, it means that, you know, and look, you and I were talking about this today, like, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It seems like a very long time, but it wasn't that long ago that there was only a roster limit of 35, right? Like, it's post COVID that the rosters ballooned to 40, you know, so it's really only been one recruiting cycle, we'll call it. And by recruiting cycle, we mean, you know, a 4 year window cycle. That would be freshman to senior year. Like, it's going to be one full recruiting cycle of 40, you know, but that's still, you know, and again, you and I were talking about this and I didn't have a chance to look it up. Like, I'd be interested to know, like, how many schools were actually at 40 and what the average roster size that was at Division I. But obviously, like, with a hard roster cap, like, there's no, hey, you got the fall to make the team. And maybe they do. Maybe some schools do that. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see, because if you're a full scholarship 34 man roster and you have those 34 scholarships to give out, like, there are no tryouts. Like, there will only be 34 dudes on that roster in the fall. So I think understanding what that means moving forward, it's going to slow down, right? Like, there's going to be a lot more people in the transfer portal. That doesn't necessarily mean that the opportunities aren't going to be there, but it's going to make, you have to understand, this rule is going to make college baseball better across all three divisions and bleeding down into JUCO and NAIA ball, because a lot of those fringy players that were walk-ons and going to those schools and playing, you know, sitting for 1 or 2 years and then maybe playing or transferring, like, they're not getting recruited at those schools, which means that fringy guy in the ACC is now playing in, you know, the Sun Belt and the CAA and the like. And those fringy guys there, that made up those rosters are now playing in the MAC and the America East and some of those other schools. And then those fringy guys are now going and playing Division II and Division III baseball. You know, so like those, all those guys that used to play at the upper levels are now going to be playing at lower levels. And this isn't necessarily a scare tactic, but that's just the reality of what is going to happen. And that's kind of the laid out trickle down effect of what this looks like. But I think those are the two, those would be my two main things that you need to understand, is that the roster changes is obviously a real thing, and it's 34 and it's hard capped, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone on the, everyone at Division I is getting a full scholarship. And then the other is just that, like, it's going to create a little bit of a logjam, but it doesn't, it's not going to preclude people from having the opportunity to play Division I baseball coming out of high school. It's going to make it a little bit harder, especially initially. But, you know, this is what the reality is moving forward. Like, you need to now know, like, you know, when you set foot on campus, you need to know now that you are entering into a super competitive, hyper competitive environment. And you need to get after it now in order to be able to get recruited to get to where you want to be if you want to play Division I baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is that there's a roster crunch, right? And in somewhere, some way, shape, or form, whether you have 40 guys or whether you have 38 guys, you need to balance your books going into next fall. And if you've got 40 guys on your roster and you got 10 coming in and you got 10 going out, simple math is there's six guys that got to go. It's either going to come from your current roster or the high school class. And unfortunately, for a sizable amount of 2025s that are currently committed, I think in the next month or so, you're going to see guys, and you've already seen it on Twitter, where guys are getting told, hey, man, you just don't have a spot anymore. And it's not the coach's fault, right? And this is something that I mentioned last week, but coaches don't want to make these phone calls. But the reality is that these guys are put in a position now where they have to make a decision on how are you going to get down to 34 guys. And the hard truth is that a lot of these schools are probably trying to get below 34 because they want to go into the transfer portal. And some of that will happen organically. You'll have guys leave the program. That's natural. That's been happening for decades. But from a 25 perspective, if you're currently an uncommitted kid, you got to read the tea leaves. And it doesn't mean that Division I is completely out of the picture. It's not the case. There are still Division I schools that are looking for players in the 2025 class, but there are far fewer opportunities out there. And if you're a 25 who's looking for that, you need to be assured that you're going to be on that 34. Because right now, is the way that the rule reads, and this is an understanding that's come down from a bunch of head coaches at the highest level, is that you need to have your 34 set before you start your fall season, which means, to your point, the days of bringing 45, 50 guys in and then sorting it out when they get there, that seems to be gone, right? And that's the only part of this rule change that seems to be up in the air a little bit. So, you know, we may come on, you know, we may release a podcast in 2 weeks that tells you differently. But as it reads right now, there's 34 guys on a roster starting next fall. So, yeah, there's some 25s who are going to be getting some phone calls that they don't want. The coaches don't want to make, like, they don't want to be in this situation. I think that's important to understand. But if you're a 2025 who's uncommitted and you're getting recruited by Division II and Division III schools, do not pass over those opportunities. It's something that could be a fit for you, because the barrier to entry in college baseball just got significantly higher. And if you have an opportunity to go play somewhere where you're wanted, that's an incredible, valuable thing to have. One, we've talked about this. Like, 7% of kids get to play NCAA Division I, II, or III baseball. Like, it's a small enough filter as it is, but it just got finer. And to dismiss those other opportunities because you think you're a Division I player or somebody told you you're a Division I player, well, if you're not getting calls from those guys and you're not getting offers, you need now more than ever, the next 3 months, you need to be very open to finding an opportunity where you can go and play and get an education. Because on the flip side of this, if you go to a place and you play well, you'll have an opportunity to move up in the college baseball competitive ladder, right? If you go to a Division II school or Division III school and you're awesome as a freshman and a sophomore, you'll have opportunities because coaches are going to lean towards experience, at least partially, when they're putting together a recruiting class moving forward. You know, you're going to have 8-9-8-9 as kind of the cadence from a recruiting class perspective in order to get to your 34. Most schools aren't going to go straight high school. They're going to have a couple spots open for JUCO and a couple spots open for transfers. And it may even be more transfer heavy the higher you get, because they're going to be able to go and get the kid who's got 350 college at-bats and yada, yada. But as a 25, you need to really look in the mirror and figure out, what are you trying to get out of this? And you need to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves, because the opportunities are dwindling due to this roster crunch at the Division I level specifically. And to your point, like, there's a trickle-down effect. Like, playing Division III baseball is going to get exponentially harder because there's 1,800 roster spots at the Division I level that no longer exist moving forward. And those 1,800 kids who are Division I players, you bet your ass they're going to have a home somewhere else. So how you work, how you communicate, and the options that you take advantage of become really important.
Yeah, I think you and I were talking about this morning, and there's going to be a lot of kids who used to be on Division III rosters that will not be on rosters anymore in college baseball. But, you know, I do think, you know, like anything else, like, we're talking about those fringy guys that are going to drop down conferences and then into divisions. Like, that Division III kid that is that fringy Division III kid that you used to kind of take a chance on and see what you could do. Like, I do think there's a spot for that kid. And, like, you know, Division III is obviously the perfect spot because you don't necessarily have a roster limit and you can take kid in for a year and see what happens. So, you know, but the fact remains, like, the rosters can only balloon so much. And there, at the Division III level, where, you know, it's not a negative when I say this, but, like, you know, resources are a little bit more scarce. Like, you don't have the money and the budget to sustain 40 to 45 guys at a lot of those schools. Some can, yes, but not a lot, by and large, can do that. So, you know, you're going to have a handful of guys that used to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago would play college baseball that will no longer really get that opportunity, because that 7% is now going to be spread, you know, a lot more around college baseball at the NCAA level.
Spot on. Just it got more difficult, and, you know, there's people.
But I do think this, like, it should, right?
Yeah. It's a privilege, not a right.
When you're talking about only 7% of people are going to play college baseball, like, it should be difficult to be in that 7%. And it has been. But I think, like, it's going to be even more. We've talked about this before. Like, there's going to be even more separation between the top and the bottom. But, you know, like, the brand of baseball that's being played at Division II and Division III, we've talked about a lot about how good it is. It's only going to get better. And, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit easier for some of those teams to replace guys, you know, but we talked about this too. And I'm sure we'll talk about this when we have Jonathan and stuff on and again soon, but, you know, like, the high end academics, like, they struggle with, like, they're not really going to get into the transfer portal because a lot of those schools, they're not going to accept credits from schools that they deem to be a little bit less than them. And the transfer window at those schools is like April. So if you don't know that you're transferring until May or late May, like, that door is closed, and they don't really care to open it for one or two athletes because they're just going to make that up on, you know, three or four incoming freshmen the following year and be good with it there. You know, so that's, like, that's a reality at those levels. Like, I know when I was at RPI, I want to say it was like either April 1st or May 1st, but still, like, that's super early. Like, you're still playing baseball. You don't know if you're transferring. It's a hard date. You know, so like a lot of those high-end academic schools, they don't necessarily deal a whole lot in the transfer portal with that type of stuff. So, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens there. But yeah, you know, be prepared, know what the rules are. Know that not everyone is getting 34 scholarships at every Division I school, and you're stepping into a hyper competitive environment. So you might as well start competing now and see what shakes out.
Absolutely. Well said. If you're 25, you got to be open to other opportunities right now. And even if you're a committed kid, like, you better dot your I's and cross your T's. Right? It's not a scare tactic. It's just a reality of, you need to make sure you're doing everything right here for the next couple months, because you don't want to give a coach a reason to say, hey, man, you don't have a spot anymore. Because the reality is, like, these guys' jobs is to put the best team on the field possible. And they're already in a roster crunch. Like, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're one of those guys that they've been given a reason to say, hey, man, you don't really have a home here now. And you're gonna be scrambling, looking for a home. So understand the rule. Understand the impact. It's competitive enough as it is. And if you really desire to play college baseball, you got to be open to other opportunities, and you can't scoff at Division II and Division III. If for some reason you think that you're a surefire Division I guy, well, at this point, you know, it's August 5th. If you're not getting Division I calls, the reality is you're probably not a Division I guy right now, and you need to be open to those other opportunities more now than ever. Anything else you'd like to add on this one here, Coach?
Nope. No, but.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We will check in with you next week. Talk to you then. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.